explain what the bill does.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 3221 requires the Economic Development Department to submit a report to the 71st Legislative Assembly relating to the status and effectiveness of economic development programs and projects in this state.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 3221. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3223. Explain to us what that bill does.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 3223 directs the Information Resources Management Division of the Department of Administrative Services to report progress of year 2000 statewide plan compliance to the Legislative Assembly.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 3223. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2804. Jim, can I ask you to jump up there?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, Jim Craven, the American Electronics Association. Our association supports House Bill 2804. I guess we should call to members' minds that we're really addressing the Dash 1 amendments to the bill. The original bill is a one-liner. Do members have the amendments at this point?
They are at their position.
Okay.
Do you want to speak to the Dash 1 amendments?
Right. I would like to speak in support of the Dash 1 amendments, which are basically a substitute to the printed bill.
Yeah, I think so.
There wasn't too much to substitute for. What 2804 does in the Dash 1 amendments is basically create something that the amendments call an Oregon Internet Commission, consisting of 13 members, including members of the Legislative Assembly, members of the private sector, and a couple of key state agencies, the Information Resources Management Division and OEDD, to take a look at the broad policy issues involving Oregon and the Internet, I think with a specific and probably those who are supporting the Dash 1 amendments, particularly in the issue of digital commerce. And I think Oregon needs to send a strong signal that the state is open and interested and ready to be supportive on the whole issue of digital commerce. As well as you'll see in the amendments that this task force or commission is assigned to look at some other policy issues such as taxation, privacy, unwanted email or spam, and some other issues. I think that Oregon is somewhat behind in showing statewide public leadership in this regard. A number of other states have already appointed such commissions, received final reports, and are working on bills along this regard. And while I know that there are some efforts underway within state agencies, in the Information Resources Management Division, I've been told, has a electronic commerce working group. I was just provided a list of the members of that group, and it seems to me that it's primarily a state agency operation, and that's appropriate for a state agency to be looking at issues along these lines that affect how agencies can do a better job in moving forward with digital commerce issues. But I think what we need to do is have a broader group to elevate this issue in a public sense, and that the amendments to the bill would send a signal from this legislative body of its interest and its invitation to the private sector to come together with government and see what we can do to help chart a strong course for the future of digital commerce and other important Internet-related issues. Oregon may have a competitive advantage along these lines. It may be somewhat temporary. As a state that doesn't have a sales tax, there is a somewhat of a competitive advantage to locate an Internet commerce-related shop in this state. Representative Rasmussen and others have heard stories about Nexus and all that in the Revenue Committee. And Oregon does have somewhat of an advantage in citing an Internet type of business right now because of our lack of a sales tax. The U.S. Congress last year, under the leadership of Senator Wyden, basically put a hiatus on states passing new taxes on Internet commerce and appointed a national commission to take a strong look at this and bring back policy recommendations. Where that's going to go, I guess nobody knows at this point. They've been having a hard time sort of picking the size of the table and pointing the members, and so it's not going real quickly. But states down the road may be looking at changes in the way they actually do sales taxes because of concerns about leakage in revenues through internet commerce. For the time being, however, Oregon does have an advantage in this field, and it's something that we ought to see how long that advantage can last and what we ought to do about it. I think primarily we look at this this concept as an economic development bill. Those who are proponents and users of the internet are fairly anti-regulatory by nature, and I don't know that the states need to play a real strong role in regulating the internet as much as advancing it and finding ways to advance Oregon's role in that. So we don't see this as a really as a state agency bill so much as a bill that that's going to come up with recommendations for how agencies ought to be involved in these issues, because that's already being done, I think, at the interagency level in Oregon. What we're trying to say is let's bring some smart bodies from the private sector together with government sector and see what kind of recommendations we can bring back to the next legislative body. Hopefully there'll be stuff that may come out of this group that doesn't have to wait for the 2001 session. If it's things that can happen without passing statutes, then it ought to happen sooner. So that's our interest in this bill. I think it would be we are a little bit behind in Oregon in having leadership in this area, but better late than never. And partly by being slightly behind, we can we have the opportunity to steal shamelessly from other state efforts. Virginia and some other states have already kind of done some of this work, so we'll have the ability. I don't know that we have to start from scratch. So this group can steal where it can steal wisely and bring back this body some good recommendations for the next legislative session.
Any questions for Mr. Green?
I think, Mr. Chairman, more of a statement than anything. This is, has a true sunset clause. I'm glad to see it that way, because it can't possibly be unsunsetted, because we will not be in session before it's sunset. I hope that date wouldn't change.
Mr. Chair, Representative Montgomery, when the first drafting of this was put together, some of my own industry people said, you're not talking about setting up a true commission that's going to be regulating, and we said, oh, absolutely not. We'll stick a sunset, make sure this thing goes away in a timely fashion.
And, Mr. Chairman, it has to.
Any other questions? Jim, can you touch briefly in terms of the role of, that this might have in terms of attracting capital and the need for investment in types of businesses which grow up around the Internet?
Right. Mr. Chair, Craig Berkman, whom most of you probably know, is a strong supporter of this bill, and he wanted me to say that here today. He's in Los Angeles and couldn't fly up to attend the hearing, otherwise he would have been here. And what Mr. Berkman and others are looking at is not only the siting of an Internet-based company in Oregon, but what that could attract around it in terms of jobs. I mean, if you... we're not just talking about putting a bunch of fancy computers in Oregon, but if you talk about the actual internet sale of goods, that has other types of related things to it. I mean, you've got to have a warehouse, you've got to have people to move goods, hopefully construct some of those goods here in Oregon. So I think down the road, we're not just talking about a bunch of super servers located in Oregon, we're talking about other jobs that would help serve that process. Companies like 800.com, which is a new firm in Portland, selling electronic consumer goods over the internet. Mr. Berkman is related, is a player in that firm, and Greg Drew's the CEO of that. And I think you'll see recruiting. The bill right now says 6 from the private sector. I don't think anybody's married to specific numbers, but I think you'll be able to attract some pretty quality people to participate in this effort.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Doris, can I control you to come up?
I'm Doris Penwell, Legislative Coordinator for Economic Development Department. We're very happy to work with the committee and Department of Administrative Services and any of the other players in putting together this bill. We'd very much like to participate in this effort, and we know that, as Mr. Craven has testified, that there's a lot of interest in doing something special because Oregon is taxed and set up the way it is, and we are very involved with companies right now that are looking at Oregon as a special place. So will be glad to work with the committee, and especially the way the bill I see is written now, the staffing seems to be minimal. That'll help for us to participate as well as other people, I believe, in state government. Thank you.
Any questions for Doris? Don, I ask you to jump up. Jim alluded to the fact that we don't want to go away if the state does not have an effort going forward. If you could touch briefly in terms of what's happening in DAS, in terms of in the focus on e-commerce and how we're doing there, improving how the state operates.
Be happy to do that. Don Mazziotti, Chief Information Officer for the State of Oregon. We have three related efforts underway. First, the Information Resource Management Council, of which Representative Simmons is a member, has concluded a year-long effort to develop an information technology strategy for the state, which has been approved by the council, sent to the governor, and is the subject of an executive order which directs its implementation. One piece of that is directed toward the utilization of e-commerce and web technologies to advance state services and to provide citizen access to information. Second is we have two related committees, an e-commerce working group, which is a subpart, and they have been at work for nearly a year on various aspects of electronic commerce. This is primarily, these are primarily officials from state government agencies across all three branches of government, and includes the Secretary of State, the Treasury, the Judicial Branch, as well as the major executive agencies. And they are working on the policy questions that are internal to state government, but as I said, including the legislature. Rich Inglis is a part of that effort, for example. And then the third group is an Internet Commerce group, and that activity is actually focused on supporting the Electronic Commerce Center, which we are establishing in DAS. This is a center of expertise within state government to enable the use of electronic commerce technologies and techniques within state government to deliver services. There's considerable expertise developing. I think, Mr. Chairman, you've met with Pat Lundeen, who is the subject matter expert within our group. She, of course, has worked closely with DCBS on the Digital Signatures Act and implementation of that act, which has gone forward, I think, quite well. And the next step is the certification authority, which I know there's legislation on that subject. So I think that state government is moving forward. IRMD does have a budget package on this subject, which I'll take the opportunity to mention the fact that we have a budget package that calls for a state webmaster and four positions to implement various web technologies. These are entirely new positions. What is happening generally, though, is I can tell you that there's an incredible growth of demand by agencies for Internet-based and web-based technologies. In fact, I was at a hearing this morning, the Senate IMT Committee had two bills that it was looking at that had calls for Internet integrated databases, Internet access. So all of this is moving pretty quickly, as Jim Craven has suggested. I think that I haven't seen language on this bill, but certainly the notion of a commission that involves a lot of private sector participants is a good idea. I think it's extremely important that there be a linkage with the public sector side, especially a lot of the activity that's going on now, and that we avoid any duplication of effort. And I'd be happy to work with, you know, the committee or whomever to do that.
Okay. Representative Deckard?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Don.
Sure.
I have a question, and it's probably better for the governor, but I'd ask it of you in terms of, I think about states that I feel like are really ahead of the game in terms of e-commerce and see the potential of really being well-positioned for the new economy and e-commerce being such an important player in the new economy. And I think of Delaware or Virginia, where the governor's office seems to be just taking a huge initiative and a very visible initiative on these issues. And want to know what our governor's plan is to really work with the worldwide community on these, on e-commerce especially, to really bring in and make ourselves not just a distribution, because we are well positioned with the sales tech, without sales tech, not just distribution, but also bring in some of the manufacturing, which you can do all over the state.
Mr. Chair, Representative Deckard, I think that Virginia has a very good public relations effort. I don't know that they're ahead of us in any way. I mean, there are some facts that are important about Virginia. First, about 75% of all internet traffic in the world goes through Virginia, because that's where the CIA, the Department of Defense, and AOL are headquartered. And so all of the major world infrastructure is focused on Fairfax and Herndon. And that gives some reason for there to be a good deal of activity. The progress that they've made in e-commerce, and I followed it fairly carefully. I just come 14 months ago from Pennsylvania, which is abuts Virginia. They've appointed a cabinet-level technology secretary who really is my counterpart, a fellow by the name of Don Upson, who's a extraordinarily highly qualified person, comes out of the private sector as I do. Has had a lot of IT and e-commerce experience, and to that extent, I think that there's more of a focus and more awareness. I do want to, I can't speak for the governor on this subject at this juncture. I can tell you that the governor did develop a legislative concept on e-commerce that was recommended to him by the Oregon Telecommunications Forum Council last year. In fact, I think they approved it in April. He determined before the session that he would withdraw that as a concept, and did withdraw it, feeling that there was enough activity underway, as I've described to you, that to occupy our time. However, if you look at the subject, the scope of what I understand to be this legislative intent, I think that this picks up very well on what was contained in that original legislative concept, and I frankly think that the governor would be supportive so long as it doesn't duplicate things that are already underway, and I don't think that's something that could not be accomplished. Just one other parenthetical comment. I don't think we're behind in e-commerce in the state at all. I think we're ahead of other states because we don't have a sales tax, and I hope that it stays that way, because the states to the north and south of us do have sales taxes. We have a very fast-growing e-commerce sector. There are dozens of firms in Portland that have just relocated to Portland who are e-commerce-based companies. There's a server park under development in Gresham, Oregon, with 800 servers that is dedicated to e-commerce. There's a major company called E.Media that's located, just relocated to Portland. There's another company called Consonus.com that's just located there. A tremendous amount, and with 67,000 people in our state employed in the IT sector, including e-commerce, there's clearly a huge growth opportunity. Where we may be failing is we may not be promoting that image or that capacity very well, and we don't have as good a PR activity maybe underway as they do in Virginia and some other states.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 2804? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2804. Open work session on House Bill 2878. Jason, you want to bring us up to speed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2878-1 establishes a tax credit for residential installation of photovoltaic utility interface systems. It also directs the Office of Energy to adopt rules that further define photovoltaic arrays that are eligible for a tax credit. Applies to these interface systems installed in the tax years beginning on or after January 1, 1999, before January 1, year 2000.
House Bill 2878 has a subsequent referral to revenue by prior reference. Senator Pickard.
Good bill. Should pass. Hope to just send it to revenue with a due pass recommendation and allow the chair of revenue to make a decision from there.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
25 words or less. What is a photovoltaic equipment?
Representative Deckard.
Solar sun generated electricity.
Oh, of course. I knew that.
The mechanism that channels electricity.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Deckard, usually we have a motion or something. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Becker, maybe you could tell me, what is the typical cost to purchase and install one of these systems?
I believe, I don't know. I want to say $25,000. I think this gentleman will be able to.
Very quickly.
Yes.
Mr. Vishwas?
Mr. Chairman, Mike Rainey, Assistant Director of the Office of Energy. The cost for these systems will run anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000, and more likely in the higher end range in order to generate any electricity.
Thank you. Representative Montgomery?
Just one little line, if I may. That means these are going in very expensive homes, and they probably don't need a tax break.
You may answer it if you'd like. I'll leave that up to you.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know. It clearly will be higher end.
I didn't mean to put him on this. That's a lot of money. I don't know on this, Mr. Chair. I'm going to get you from there.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd move that the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3878.
They were not adopted in sub?
We adopted them.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, we did.
And I would move that 3878 to the Governor's Committee.
Representative Deckert moves House Bill 2878 as amended to the Committee on the Revenue with a pass recommendation. Discussion, Representative Witt?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Deckert, do we have any estimate of how many of these will be installed in, for example, the coming biennium, should we pass this legislation, and what the tax revenue impact might be?
Jason, do we have a revenue statement? It says on the top of the thing, no revenue impact.
Mr. Chairman, the revenue office indicated that they wouldn't be performing an impact statement because they would be dealt with in revenue.
We have fiscal impact of in the 99 to 01 of less $34,500 in 2000. A 1 to 03, it's $55,000. This is done by?
It's determined by the Office of Energy.
Office of Energy.
From a fiscal
standpoint, we have a fiscal statement.
$55,000, is that what it was, Mr.
Savings? Is there a negative number?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, that's a revenue impact. So it's $34,000 revenue impact first biennium, $55,000 second. So we're estimating, but we estimated approximately about 35 units first biennium and perhaps 50 to 60 the second biennium.
Okay. Mr. Chairman? I just point out to the committee, and I think Representative Rasmussen is well aware of this, in the Revenue Committee we've been spending a significant amount of time the last two or three weeks looking at tax credits that we can eliminate. of course, this is, I assume we'll go to the Revenue Committee, but it's flying right in the face of what we've been working at doing.
Understood.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Deckard.
In my discussions with the Revenue Committee Chair, this bill, which was introduced on behalf of the constituent, does have a tough road to hoe in terms of the lateness and getting into the revenue cycle. But would ask that we pass it on and let it get to revenue to fight that struggle.
Representative Witt?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Deckard, if you could maybe enunciate the public policy behind this proposed tax credit.
Sure. The idea in talking to the constituent who would ask me to introduce it was that he works in the solar industry and that we ought to promote renewable resources and we ought to look for ways that encourage citizens to use renewable resources.
I would just add in terms of, a constituent who came in testified in favor of the bill. He was a pilot in the Gulf War. After the Gulf War, he installed one of these systems because he wanted to reduce the reliance on oil. And so, and he lives in just a regular neighborhood, in a regular house, so I don't know whether he's wealthy or not, but.
Off the list, Chair.
I'm testing very expensive solar panels on my sailboat, and I'd appreciate an amendment to this. We could write them on. Just logical. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Montgomery. Is there further discussion, Representative Rosenbaum?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I will vote aye on this as a courtesy to Representative Deckert, but I have to echo the comments of Representative from Cedar Mill that having sat through, I think, now 4 days and probably 36 hours of hearings,
every tax credit that gets enacted sounds so very good, but it virtually becomes impossible to find the base of that. So I think it's a tough thing to actually put more in when we can't undo the ones we've got now.
Thank you, Representative Rosenbaum. Representative Ping?
I guess that's a big if, but if we did deregulation and if that deregulation had a 3% fund for the alternative, you know, power sources, I'm wondering if tax credit is fundable, you know, from that source.
That would be something for Representative Witt to keep in mind.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd prefer to vote against this. If you need my vote here to move it to revenue, I would do that.
I think we're okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Summers?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would point out a couple of things with regards to the public policy. With regards to the actual tax expenditure, I leave that to somebody a lot more smarter than I am, like the folks that are sitting on revenue and making those decisions. But I do agree with the move to do away with a lot of our tax expenditures. But from a public policy standpoint, there's another issue with this that Representative Deckert did not address, and that is with regards to reverse metering. And one of the things that can
2650A as amended by the A8s to the floor with a due
is that in the daytime, when the person that owns a home is not at home. And it's a time that the power company is actually needing more power. The power company could actually be drawing off the home. And when there is then in the evening, it's going the other way. So I would just point out that I think renewable resources is good, plus the reverse metering.
Representative Kremel, that is good, and you will get that opportunity to have that vote that's coming out of Representative Witt's subcommittee on net metering. So with that, I think we've allotted our allotted time on this bill. Did call the roll, please.
Representative Deckert?
Aye.
King?
Representative King votes no.
Rommel?
Aye.
Montgomery?
No.
I'm almost always happy to vote aye on a Deckert bill.
Rosenbaum? Aye.
As a courtesy, aye.
Witt?
No.
Chair Hill?
Aye. House Bill 2878 moves to the Committee on Revenue.
Again, the chair will carry 2792 to the floor.
Open work session on House Bill 2832. Jason, you want to bring us up to speed on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2832-3 allocates $20 million of lottery money to the Oregon Unified International Trade Fund for Coos County Natural Gas Pipeline and Electric Power Transmission Facilities Project. It requires the director of OEGD to enter into a grant agreement with Coos County prior to the issuance of lottery bonds and declares an emergency effective July 1, 1999.
House Bill 2832 also for committee has a subsequent referral by prior reference to Ways and Means. Representative Montgomery?
Chairman Jason has said it all. In the committee, we've discussed it. If it goes to Ways and Means, it would get in line with the others. It will not come ahead of any other project down there. It will be last in line. Having said that, I'll move House Bill 2832 to Ways and as amended to Ways and Means to do past recommendation.
Representative Montgomery moves House Bill 2832 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means.
A point of order, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kremel?
I can't remember if we... I'm the chair of the subcommittee that saw this, and I can't remember if we actually adopted the Dash 3 amendments. Jason, do you remember or did we adopt the Dash 3?
Mr. Chair, Representative Crumley, yes, we did. Representative Montgomery moved the Dash 3 amendments. We adopted them and deferred it to the...
Great, thank you. It was just my memory failing me. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Hearing and seeing none. Is there any objection? Representative Roosevelt, are you objecting? Or do you want to go to discussion? Are you objecting?
Well, that's
that equates to voting no on the bill.
Correct.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay, we'll show Representative Rosenbaum voting no. Is there anyone else? With that, House Bill 2832 moves to the Committee on Ways and Means. Open a work session on House Bill 2775. Jason, you want to bring us up to speed on this one?
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2775-1 requires instruments conveying fee title to real property to be recorded within 15 days of execution, and it deletes the exemption from county recording fees for state and state agencies. And we did adopt the dash one amendment. There was a question in the subcommittee about why this went to, why this had a fiscal impact and why it was going to Ways and Means. And I can answer that at this time. It's dependent, or it affects other two other buildings and that could cause some sort of a fiscal impact. It would be over the $50,000 figure.
Fair enough. Any discussion?
Yes.
Oh, I guess Representative Deck is carrying the bill. Do you have anything further to add?
Jason summarized it perfectly.
Okay. Representative Rasmussen.
Help me understand the interconnect here. We have this long, drawn-out fight over a recording fee that has been placed on to help support the assessment and taxation for county folks. And is this, what are we doing here? We're preempting any time a state or Oregon's doing a fee recording or title recording?
I think Representative Rasmussen simply requires that you have to instruments conveying fee title to real property to be recorded within 15 days of execution. You're just setting up a time frame in which you have to record the instrument.
So okay. Okay, never mind. Thank you. I'm trying to fight you.
Is that consistent? Is that a correct statement, Jason?
Mr. Chair, we're looking at what the bill does. The essence of the bill? The essence of the bill, my understanding, is to eliminate duplication of tracking from state agencies and the county clerks. And that would potentially save or cost $5,000, but save a lot more time and resources than the $5,000 would indicate.
But the bill then also sets up a specific time frame which you have to record. Do you want to come up and... What are we missing here?
Oh, good.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Charles Stern. I'm the Yamhill County Clerk, and I chair the Oregon Association of County Clerks Legislative Committee for Land Records. The Dash 1 amendment deletes, in effect, Section 1 of the bill, which had those references to the time frame in which you must record it. So it would leave the law there as it currently is. There was a number of issues of concern of documents that are in escrow, and various documents that there was not a way to accommodate what the Section 1 is providing for. The rest of the sections deal with a number of, most state agencies, when they record with the clerks, once a month we send them a bill and they pay their bills promptly. There are a few exceptions to that. One of them is in the Judicial Department. The other is the Division of State Lands, as you can see from the bill. The issue kind of came to light is that we would have, we send the bills to these state agencies, and then we get a check for $20, which may cover documents that may have occurred sometime previous, because they pay us as they recover the costs. And in talking with people in support enforcement, some of the, which I met with, we're spending time tracking to know how to apply their monies to us. They're spending time tracking so when they collect the money, they can send it to us, but we're not talking about $5,000 statewide annually.
Any questions for the questions from the committee? Thank you. Is there a different motion?
I move, Mr. Chair, House Bill 2775 to floor with a due pass.
To Ways and Means.
To Ways and Means, a due pass recommendation.
Representative Deckert moves House Bill 2775 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection? We'll show Representative Simmons excused. No objections. House Bill 2775 moves to the Committee on Ways and Means. And with that, we are done with the full committee. We will have, we may throw in a short full committee on Wednesday in terms of just to make sure that we have enough time to do all the bills that are coming out. We're approaching the deadline in terms of for the crossover from the House to the Senate. So we're going to have some TAP hearings, and then we're going to have a heavy schedule the week of the 30th in terms of we determine in terms of what needs to move and what doesn't need to move as we go forward on this. Deadline is the 30th to move House bills out. So if you have the bills that you'd like to see, come talk to me. Please make sure that the committee members, there's enough votes for it on the committee. And we'll see what we can do from there. With that, without objection, we are adjourned.